9 this morning, Gospel of John chapter 9, as we are endeavoring to go through the Gospel of John this year. And it's amazing what we have found in this book that is the easiest yet the most profound gospel of the four. And John chapter 9, all talking about one event, a blind man healed. That's the Gospel of John chapter 9, the blind man healed. We're going to start reading this morning in verse 30, and we're going to end in verse 41. We're going to do it responsively for those of you who are visiting. That means I read verse 30, you respond on verse 31, and we can go that way till we hit verse 41, which is the last verse of the chapter. So starting in verse 30, I will start. The man answered and said unto them, "Why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes together. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." They answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remaineth." Wow. A lot taught in this chapter. He had a physical healing of a blind man, but it taught powerful spiritual lessons of spiritual blindness. Spiritual sight and spiritual blindness is what is taught in this chapter, both physical and spiritual are the parallels here of physical sight and spiritual sight, physical blindness and spiritual blindness. And he uses this blind man to teach the lesson. "He hath opened mine eyes," taken from verse 30. That's what the man testified. "He hath opened mine eyes." That's all he knew, is that God had opened his eyes. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you will help me, help our church family in this few minutes and the visitors here to receive something from the word. Lord, we love your word. We really do. We love your word above anything else in the world. Without it, we are doomed. With it, we have the riches of heaven, the riches of eternal life, the riches of your grace, the unsearchable riches that you've described. They're all through your word. Your word opens the door to heaven and the riches of Christ. So we pray we would see some of those, receive some this morning by your grace. Please fill us, lead us, inspire us, teach us, and help us, Lord, as we open your precious word and preach it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We really see in this chapter a continuation on the theme of light. He's teaching about himself being the light of the world. "I am the light of the world, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness." That was what he taught in the previous, and really all the way through the book of John, we saw in John chapter 1, the theme of light. Verse 5 here, he says, "As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." He's using this illustration, this demonstration of healing a blind man to teach that he is light. Now, you can't see light if you're blind. There was a man caught in a mine shaft explosion And after days and days, they brought this hole, they dug and dug and got, finally, you know, you often hear about somebody trapped in a mine somewhere in the world. And there recently was one, I think, in Thailand. And people were trapped down below, and it took days and days, and they finally, I believe they got them all out alive. And it was a similar situation. They brought all of these men out from the underground mine, and the man got out from under the mine, brought him up, and he said, "Why don't they have any light on?" And they realized for the first time he was blind. He couldn't see the light. He was in the light, but couldn't see the light. He was blind. He'd been blinded down in the explosion in the mine and had suffered headaches through those days, severe headaches, but did not realize till he got to where the light was that he was blind. Now, there's a spiritual truth here, is that we do not know that we are blind until we see light. Once we see light, we realize we're blind. That's what this chapter is all about. Verse 1 all the way to verse 41 is teaching about this very subject. It's one of the longest accounts of anything that John recorded here on any of the miracles was this one. It was important because in John chapter 5, he had healed the man, the paralyzed man, remember, took him down to the pool of Bethesda and waited for the stirring of the water. And of course, Jesus healed him by his word. He didn't have to go in the water. And that's how he works. Jesus works through his word. We have a different pool here. We have the pool of Siloam that plays a part in this. And the word Siloam means sent. If you look at verse 7, it says, "And he said unto them, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent." Interesting that all these pools and places and names have a significance. Jesus was sending him to a place to get washed that was interpreted sent. And it was who was sending him, not where he was sending him, that was making the difference. Jesus was there because he was sent. He was the sent one, sent to save, sent to redeem, sent to reveal. He was sent on a mission that nobody could figure out at this point. They were mystified by Jesus. But here he is, and the entire chapter is about this man, not only blind, but this man was blind from birth. He was born blind. He had never seen the sunrise, never had seen the green leaves of trees. He'd heard birds sing, but never saw one ever in his life. Heard his mother's voice, his daddy's voice, but never saw them. He had touched them, heard them, never saw them until today. And it all starts here in this very, very interesting verse 1. He says, "And Jesus passed by." I want us to see here, and there's a very interesting point here that's made. It's throughout this chapter, they all ask the question, how were you made to see? How? They don't say who. And really it wasn't how he was saved, how he was healed, it was who healed him. That was the point. Now before we go into the message, I just want you to turn to John chapter 20. And John chapter 20, this is the key verse of the entire book of John, in my opinion. This is the most important verse of the entire Gospel of John. John chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." But look at the next verse. "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Folks, that is a key verse of the book Gospel of John. A lot of people think it's John 3:16. That's a very important one, and it's used a lot. As Jesus was having his little one-on-one with Nicodemus, He told him that truth, but here, this is meant for everybody reading this book. Everybody reading the Gospel of John to understand that every miracle Jesus did was for a purpose. It was so that you, we, people reading, written, recorded, all of this, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. That means he's the Messiah. He was the sent one. He was the one promised in all of the Old Testament, foretold and prophesied that the Jews missed. That's what it is about, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He is a supernatural, born of a virgin, Son of God, miraculously born into this world for the purpose of one thing, to die for your sin and for mine. And that believing, you might have life through his name. I tell you, there's a life to live. I love sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ because I've enjoyed this life now for 40 years, the life through his name. Praise the Lord. That's what we have in Christ. We have a life. We have an eternal life, but we have a life now. He calls it an abundant life. It's a real life, abundant life. Well, this young man back in the gospel of John chapter 9 was about to enter in and experience this amazing life that is in Jesus Christ. And it's all here. He explains it over and over. He testifies, he hath opened mine eyes. He hath opened mine eyes. While he opened his eyes physically, he also opened this young man's eyes spiritually. They did both. And we don't often see that in Jesus. We see it so clearly here. There was two things. He opened physical eyes, and he opened the spiritual eyes of this man so that he could see. Now, first of all, Jesus passed by. We see this, I would call it a divine appointment. You know, you never know. Jesus passed by. It's just profound. Jesus passed by. That's how it starts. Who did he pass by? He passed by a person. And he noticed that person like he often did, whether it was the man in Jericho or the blind man, or Jesus just happened to pass by. And my friend, that's what happened to you one day. It was Jesus passed by. He passed by. And you know who Jesus is on this earth, who Jesus is? It's the bride. It's his bride. It's us engaged in his cause, in his gospel. And we are being used. So I'm saying, watch out who you pass by. When you pass by somebody, if you're a spirit-filled person, God's going to use you. It could be your workplace. It could be whoever. It's one day, it's when God speaks to you. It's when God whispers to you. It's when God, he brings things to your attention, remembrances. And so that's why it's so important that we are representatives. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And Jesus passed by. A divine appointment. Everyone has had somewhere a divine appointment where God, by divine circumstances, brought things to pass at a certain time, at a certain place, where he began to get your attention and show you things. That's what he was doing here. He was getting things ready for a miracle. Jesus passed by. Number two, Jesus touched him. Jesus touched him. Verse number 6, we see here, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, Jesus touched him with clay. You know what's another thing that's very interesting about the Gospels and Jesus dealing with people? He never did the same thing twice the same way. Never. He always did it different. And he did that for a reason, because if he did it the same way every time, we would think it's in the method, not in the man, not in the person. That's what would happen because of our nature. We like to copy things. We like to copy formulas. And Jesus did it with clay this time and spittle. Can you imagine? He takes this clay, picks it up off the ground, spits in it, rubs it around, kind of like putting mortar on a brick out there. And he rubs on it. And he takes it and puts it on the man's eyes. That was his touch. And he says, now, next step. He touched him. Then he says, He instructed him. You know, he was taking him through a process. There was a divine appointment. He passed by. Jesus passed by. Jesus touched him. Jesus instructed him. Now let's look at verse number 7. And he said unto him, that's Jesus, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Amazing. He goes, he follows the instruction. Jesus gives him the instruction. Now this man, remember, he's been born, he's been blind since his birth. And he's, I'm sure, tried many things to be healed. He's probably tried the pool of Bethesda. He's tried different places and different formulas and food and doctors and physicians and all of these things through his lifetime. Now he gets an instruction from Jesus. He can't see him. He can only hear him. And he says, go down to the pool of Siloam. Now this man could have said, I think that's ridiculous. I've been to that pool a lot of times. Nothing's ever happened. He could have made excuses, and I'm sure maybe the thoughts, I'm sure, passed through his mind. But you know what he did? He listened. And he obeyed. And he believed. We see all three things here. And my dear friend, for healing to happen, you've got to listen, you have to obey, and you have to believe. He believed him. Why did he believe him? Because he listened to him. He obeyed. You know, the biggest demonstration of a person believing in Jesus Christ is obedience. It's obedience. It's obeying him. So Jesus passed by. Jesus touched him. Jesus instructed him. And you know what? Jesus changed his life. Verse number 30. He says in verse number 30 in our text, the man answered and said unto them, why, and here is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. There was a lot of opposition here. Everyone, the Pharisees were opposing him. And the strange thing that happened here is Jesus did this again on the Sabbath day. Wow. John chapter 5, it was the Sabbath day healing that caused the death sentence to come on him. It riled the Pharisees up that he would work on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day. And Sabbath day was important. The Sabbath day was in the law. But what the people of that day were missing is the Spirit of Christ. Oh, they had the laws, the rules. They were following the rules and the regulations, but they were missing the person. They forgot the first of the commandment, the greatest commandment of all, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. See, they were missing that part. And you know something that can happen in Baptist churches too? It can happen. Where you stop loving the Lord. You do a lot of things. You dress a certain way. You do this and you do that. And you go to church and you follow a protocol, but you don't know the person. The walk with Jesus Christ. That's what's so important. You've got to know him and follow him. He changed my life. He's opened my eyes. Look at the testimony in verse 25. Look at verse 25. As everybody's opposing him, and he says, verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, that's what everybody was saying Jesus is, because he did it on the Sabbath, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, but now I see. He says, this one thing I know. You can tell me this, and you can theorize with all kinds of ideas, but this one thing I know, that man I met that touched my eyes with clay, he changed my life forever. I can see now. He has changed me. So that I can see. He says, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. You're saying he's a sinner, but I'll tell you this. He said, he has made me see. This one thing I know. And you know what? I hope you can look back in an experience in your life and you can say with the same confidence, this one thing I know. I know God did something in my life. I know I used to be this I know I didn't used to know Jesus, but today I do. Because I remember the day in my life when Jesus passed by. So Jesus passed by, Jesus touched him, Jesus instructed him, Jesus changed this man's life by opening his eyes, born blind, and then we see the testimony of Jesus. We see the man's testimony. Really, this is the amazing part, Jesus, his testimony. We see his testimony to his neighbors, verse number 8. Verse number 8, he says, the neighbors therefore, and they which there had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Then we see in verse 20, testimony to his parents. His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. His parents were afraid. They didn't have the same boldness in their heart that this man had. They were actually afraid. They were worried. They didn't want to have the fact that they were concerned that they would actually put him out of the synagogue. Look at verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Put out of the synagogue. They had made that pact already. And the Jews, the Pharisees, were controlling the whole scene in Jerusalem. And religious leaders have caused more harm to the cause of Jesus Christ probably than any other thing in the world. Leaders of false religious organizations. These people were so close and yet so far. Here was Jesus. They had the Bible, the Jews, but they were missing the truth. They were missing the truth. The neighbors, the parents. Well, he wasn't afraid of the Pharisees. Verse number 15. We see the Pharisees. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see. Then said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. He keepeth not the Sabbath day. And on, they were always chastised. The Pharisees were always there, and they were getting madder by the minute about what was going on. Verse 24, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, this is the Pharisees, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. They thought they could discredit him. That was their way of doing it, discredit him. He's a sinner, he's a sinner, he can't be of God. He's a sinner, he's a sinner. He's a sinful man, he can't be of God, he's a sinner. That's the devil's way of discrediting the gospel. It's creating, he discredits you in some way. Now, he says in verse 25, he answered and said, whether I be a sinner or no, I know this one thing, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Verse 28, then said they unto him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? Always, how did he open your eyes? Well, it was clay and spittle. How? What they should have been asking is who. They should have found out who. If they'd have been asking who instead of how, they would have got to the answer. He was the Son of God. He was the Savior. In verse 27, he says, in his excitement, now remember, this is a man that's born blind. Now he's seeing. He's seeing sunshine. He's seeing birds. He's seeing the sunset. He sees Jerusalem. He sees his parents. That's what you look like. Mother, you're such a sweet sounding lady. I didn't know you looked like this. Dad, I didn't know you looked like this. Dad, you surprise me. Grandpa, grandma, I mean people. Voices. He puts faces now with voices. Can you imagine the excitement of this young man seeing that had never seen before? Wow. The Pharisees, they controlled everything with fear, with legalistic fear, and the great fear, if you confess Jesus Christ, you're going to be kicked out of the synagogue. That's the church of that day. There's religions that do that today, all the time. Right, Peter? There's religions that control people the same way. Peter confessed Christ. They kicked him out of his church. They don't want anything, no coming back confessing Christ. That goes on all the world. Muslims, false religions everywhere, all over. And even some that call themselves Christian. If you confess Jesus Christ, and they'll say, out of here. You have no more part. That's a fear, control of fear. Nobody wants to be kicked out. No one wants to be ostracized. A Jehovah's Witness friend of mine got saved in university. And he was my Bible college teacher in university. And while he was going to university, he met people going to a Bible study. And he became a friend with him. He kind of broke the Jehovah's Witness rules. You're not supposed to talk to anybody about the Bible or spiritual things unless there's two Jehovah's Witnesses together. I don't know if you knew that or not. I'm just trying to help you understand. You'll never get a Jehovah's Witness to talk to you alone if he's obeying. Well, Rob broke the rules a little bit, and he started building a little bit of a relationship with this guy, and the guy would meet him at lunch, and the guy would share with him a little bit about spiritual truth in the Bible. And they had a Bible study at the university. And it was posted, Bible study at such and such in room such and such. And they were allowed to do that. So they would go there. But Rob, for a while, wouldn't do it. But he would meet with the leader, and they would dialogue together. And the leader of this Bible study group gave Rob a Bible. It was Easter break. And he said to Rob, I challenge you. Take this New Testament, read it cover to cover, once, twice, at least twice over the Easter break, and then we'll meet after. And you ask God while you're going, is Jesus real? Is Jesus true? And you just ask God to show you if Jesus Christ is true from His Word. Is He a Savior? He said, I read it once. I was pretty well convinced. Even reading it once. I started reading it the second time. I got up to the Gospel of John, and he said, it started jumping out of every second verse. Jesus, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me shall never die. I am the water of life. I am the bread of life. Before Abraham was, I am. He said, I was convinced. I got on my knees. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was all excited. I ran back and told the leader of the group, I've accepted Jesus. I see it's true. And he was so excited, he wanted to tell his dad and mom and his folks back at Seattle in Oregon. And he tells him, he phones him up, and he says, I have become a believer in Jesus. Jesus is, he is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's not just somebody we learn from. He is somebody who saves. He's real. The Holy Ghost is a part of the plan. And he shared that with his parents. And his parents said, Rob, how dare you go against the church? The traditions of our church, Rob, you have, and he called back and they tried a few more reconciliation phone calls. To make a long story short, the church told him, excommunicate him, have nothing to do with him. Hopefully he'll come back. And they did, they excommunicated him. He kept praying. He was hurt, devastated, told not to come home, told to have no relationship with his mom and dad and so forth. And he kept praying. And he would sneak the odd letter in. He would do it by writing and letter. And you know what started happening? Prayer. The Bible study group at the university was praying for him. And you know what started happening? His sister got saved. His mother got saved. His daddy got saved. And I believe his other sister got saved. But he was excited about what God had happened. Well, this is what this man does before the Pharisees. He says here, the Pharisees, he says to the Pharisees that he said, I was, verse 15, he says, then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said, he put clay upon my eyes, I washed and do see. Now look at verse 27. He says, he answered and them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? And he's excited here. He says, will you also be his disciples? He's saying, why don't you follow him? This man heals people. This man makes blind men see. This is what he did to me. Why don't you become his disciple? You know what happens when a person's saved? You want to tell others. You want others to follow this saved. That's what he's doing here. And he's not afraid of the Pharisees. But this really upsets them. Look at their response. He says here, verse 28, then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples, basically, discrediting Christ. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto him, why, and here is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. This man is from God. All of this, his testimony of Jesus, all of this, and guess what? This man is still not saved. He's not saved. You know how I know? Because Jesus is just about. So, he's sharing with the Pharisees. They're upset with him. Why don't you follow Christ? And he's excited about being healed. And look at verse 34. Verse 34. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? You're trying to teach us? You think just because you're healed that now you're teaching us who we're supposed to follow? And you're trying to teach us? And they cast him out. Now, where's Jesus all during this time? We don't know. It doesn't tell us. We don't know where he is, and neither does this young man know where he is. In fact, he doesn't even really know him personally. He just knows what he did. Now, they've cast him out of the synagogue. Out. His parents are devastated. His relatives are devastated. They're rejoicing that he can see, but now they're cast out. And they're in fear around the leaders of the Pharisees. Look at verse 35. This is an amazing verse. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, he finds him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? The man looks at Jesus, who he'd only heard before. Now he sees him. He sees him and he answers that, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee, with a little smile on his face. Jesus had a little smile on his face. He was having a little fun here with this young man. He said, it is he that talketh. Who is he, Lord? Who is the Son of God? It's me. Now remember, up to here, he'd only heard Jesus. Jesus disappeared. And now he's before him. He's been cast out of the synagogue, cast out. He's devastated, hurt. He thought, what did I do wrong? What did I say wrong? I mean, I've been healed, and I want to tell people about it. And Jesus finds the outcast. You know what? Maybe you feel like an outcast. I tell you what, Jesus is there. He knows you're outcast. He knows you're cast out, and he's there. He's going to look for you, and he's going to try to draw you and help you and comfort you and strengthen you. Oh, yeah, that's the heart and compassion of Christ. And he shared the truth of them. You see what happened here? He had his physical eyes opened, but now his spiritual eyes were going to be opened. You see, you can be healed and not saved. You can be healed. There's a lot of people. I tell you, there's people can get healed. I think it's happened in our church. Somebody healed. God did it as a miracle, And then sometimes I wonder, did the person really after give God the glory, believe, and trust? You see, physical eyes being opened isn't enough. A lot of charismatic nonsense today, healing, 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 but there's no spiritual life. There's no spiritual life being communicated and transferred, and life, the life-changing message of the gospel is never, ever happens. It is only, the emphasis is a physical thing. And that was the problem with these people. They wanted physical bread, they wanted physical water, they wanted physical miracles, but they didn't want the spiritual truth. We have an account in John chapter 5, I think 5 or 6, where a man was healed and never saved. He never was saved. He was healed but not saved. And I think it was that paralytic man in John chapter 5. He wasn't saved. He was healed and he disappeared. He just saw the things going on around him. He didn't want to get in conflict with the Pharisees, so he never really was saved. Here we see. And he says, look at verse 38. This is the man's response. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. I believe. And he worshiped him. My dear friends, the Gospel of John has the word believe about 100 times. Believe, 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 believe. You know what the gospel message is? Jesus Christ died for you. He was buried according to the scriptures. He rose again according to the scriptures. He did it for you. He spent 40 days on this earth with many infallible proofs to prove he was who he said he was. But your part is one little simple thing. Believe. 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 It's not believe in something else. It's not believe in something else. Your way to eternal life is one thing. Believe. Jesus Christ. That's the gospel message. That you believe. And that's what this man did right here. He said, Lord, I believe. We see in Acts chapter 16 at the jail that night, the jailer, what must I do to be saved? Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and your house. It's it. That's the formula. Always has been. We have a slight habit, and you got to be careful of this in churches. They always try to add something. They always try to add something. Well, if you do it this way, and you got to do that, or you can't be saved. I mean, you're going to have to do this plus this. And no, that person can't be saved unless they did this and did this and did this. No, you got to do this and that and this and this, and you got to do that. And the Galatians says you must be circumcised. You got to do that because circumcision went all the way back to Abraham. If we throw that out, how can a person be saved? That was what our fathers did, our grandfathers. And it's a Bible. It's in the Old Testament. It's important that we do that and follow that. Paul writes to them, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who hath hindered you that you should not obey the gospel of Christ? Circumcision availeth nothing, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Circumcision availeth nothing, nor uncircumcision, but faith that works by love. You know what faith is? Faith? Believing. That's what faith is. It's believing. Folks, we got to get back to what the Bible says about salvation. Believe. Repent of the things you didn't used to believe that were wrong, and believe the truth. That's it. Simple. And you know what happens after a person does that? The Bible way? This is what happens. He worshiped him. He worshiped him. This guy is saved. He worshiped him. And then he gives him one final lesson, a spiritual lesson. He says, yep, I've healed you physically, young man. I've healed you. But I got another lesson here. This is why I come to this world. Verse 39. I come into this world that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? And he said, he turns around to them and he said, I thought you would never ask. I thought you would never ask. Are we blind also? Yeah, that's why I did this, to teach you about spiritual blindness. You are blind. You think you see, but you're blind. You follow religion, but you're blind. You're not getting what I am. I'm the Son of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the one who was sent. I am the Messiah. And if you don't repent and believe, you will perish in an eternal hell. You must believe. And he told them. Now, we'd like to see a lot of them repented and saw, you know what, we got it. But they didn't. There were a few, but not many. Now, the day of Pentecost, it turned things a lot. This man, I believe, became a fervent follower of Christ. I believe this man was probably in the upper room of that 120 praying, waiting for Pentecost there. But the spiritual lessons. Listen, he opened my eyes. Do you know this morning what that means? Not to have your physical eyes open, but your spiritual eyes. This man taught both. He experienced both physical healing, spiritual healing. He taught both. We see, okay, maybe you're here today and you're blind to this truth about Jesus Christ. Have you ever felt the touch of God? Have you heard the instructions from the Word of God, but yet refuse to obey, to submit and obey? Have you experienced the changed life that only the touch of God can give when you believe the gospel? Let's pray.